Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. We're Boston Sports Original. We're coming to you live in our Brighton studios, which are powered by Verizon. Nice to have you with us here on this Tuesday, the 29th of July, just 2 days away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which is coming up on Thursday at 4 p.m. And I have some very strong thoughts about that deadline based off of chatter that I'm hearing, or mostly reading, I would say, on ESPN and other places, things that I'm hearing about the Red Sox, things that Rob Bradford has reported in the last 24 hours, things that have been hinted at over the last couple of weeks. I'm now expecting the worst. If the Red Sox make a big consequential move at this deadline, I will be absolutely shocked. That's what it's come to. I am setting myself up to not be let down again. I understand some of this is in the interest of self-preservation. Not letting yourself fall for something too many times. Too cynical to do that year after year. I'm just naturally too cynical of a person to fall for this again. So based off of what I'm hearing, based off of what I'm reading and what I'm seeing, it looks like the Red Sox aren't going to do anything. Anything substantial. If you considered last year, the trade deadline last year, or the year where they traded for Hosmer, you know, like some of the ones recently, like if you consider those to be nothing deadlines, which I think we all do, then I'd say that's probably on the high end of what you're looking at here in 2 days. And I'm basing this off of a couple of things. Number one, Rob Bradford reported yesterday that the Red Sox have essentially told everyone that they're not trading Jarren Duran. He will not be moved. I know for a lot of Red Sox fans, that's good news. And in some ways, I also think it's good news. I think Jarren Duran on this team is a good player, and you know, if you're not going to trade him, maybe that means you move somebody else. But in the event that you do acquire more pitching and you do it by trading one of your outfielders, if it's not going to be Jarren Duran, then that's okay, so long as you do something, you know, like so long as some kind of effort is made here and that you don't just continue through these next 2 months with five outfielders when you need help pitching. If it's not going to be Jarren Duran, okay. It seems like that's the player that teams are the hottest for. San Diego Padres have been thirsty for Jarren Duran for about a month and a half now, according to reports. Been giving you all sorts of offers, which, depending on which newspaper you read or which website you read, were made or not made. The Dylan Cease, the one with the catcher and the other prospect, like that one, that was the one McAdam reported on, which Alex Speer then said was not an offer that ever got made. But now everyone's saying that Jarren Duran's not even getting traded anymore. So, okay, well, wait a minute. So there was never an offer made, or there was an offer made, but it got turned down, and now they're not going to trade him, and they never wanted to trade him, and okay, fine. So what are you going to do? Because I just read something that upset me, if you can believe that. And it was the 2025 Major League Baseball trade deadline tracker on ESPN. Not many people can read a trade deadline tracker and get very angry by it, but I did today. I found myself having big feelings about this. It is a compilation, you know, it's one of those like live blogs basically. And you got Olney, you got Passan, you got all the ESPN guys all writing little updates, writing their little updates about the buzz around the league. For example, today. The latest trade deadline buzz is that the Blue Jays have been linked to Guardians outfielder Stephen Kwan, who seems more likely to be traded now that Emmanuel Clase is absent. Toronto's priority remains pitching, Blue Jays could use a top-end starter. Do they really need a top-end starter? They have Barrios, Bassett, and Gossman. The Red Sox need a front-end starter. The Blue Jays don't need a front-end starter. This is how you know that every single team in the league just wants pitching all the time. That's why the market's so ridiculous every year. That's why no substantial trades ever get made at the deadline. Because even the Blue Jays are here like, oh, we need pitching, guys. Like, no, you actually don't. Your pitching staff is awesome this year. Your pitching staff is kicking ass this year. We need more. Okay. Blue Jays entered the season with baseball's 24th ranked farm system. Be difficult to envision them filling the needs at the top of their rotation in the back end of the bullpen while also adding an impact bat. It's every team needs the same thing. Front end rotation, back end of the bullpen, power bat. Everyone's looking for the exact same thing the Red Sox are looking for. And it may be different positions, right? You know, some teams need third baseman, some teams need outfielders, some teams need this, that, whatever, when it comes to the position guys. But starting pitchers and back-end bullpen guys, it's universal. It's what everyone's looking for. It's what the Red Sox are looking for to get better. It's what the Blue Jays are looking for to make sure teams like the Red Sox don't get better. And the Blue Jays are smart to be out there trying to swing these deals. They're smart to be out there trying to pick up a guy like Kwan. Kwan's good, and they need help in that outfield. So that's Aldin Gonzalez, his update. Next update from Buster Olney is that Eugenio Suarez getting hit by a pitch on Monday night has concerned rival evaluators. I'd still take him, all right? You can hit him in three more pitches. You can get hit with every single pitch for the rest until Thursday, and I'd still take him, all right? Luis Robert, trade talks heating up with the Mets and Phillies. Also, the Padres have inquired. Braves may be moving Marcell Ozuna. The Padres interested in him. Cardinals are looking to deal Ryan Helsley. Tigers, Mets, Yankees, Mariners, Dodgers, Phillies, and Blue Jays among contenders looking for help there. The Reds looking at Eugenio Suarez, but they have a backup plan: Gio Urshela or Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Joe Ryan and Dylan Cease are the two main names, with the number of contenders looking for a frontline starting pitcher like the Mets, Cubs, Red Sox, etc. But the price for the two most prominent starters, Joe Ryan and Dylan Cease, remain extremely high in the minds of some evaluators. That's the first time the Red Sox got mentioned. And it was to say that while they want frontline starting pitching, the asking prices remain extremely high. It depends on who you believe. If you believe Sean McAdam that Jaron Duran was the offer, and it was for Dylan Cease, who's a rental, the catching prospect who's now, what was that? What's that kid's name, Brian? The catching prospect in the McAdam report from the Padres. What's his name, Dan? Do we know? I forgot.
I'm looking directly at Dan because I have absolutely no idea. He's okay. The baseball guy on
it was
show.
A,
He's looking it up right now.
All right, thanks. It was a...
Oh, Ethan Salas.
Ethan Salas. Yeah. Thank you very much. And a third prospect that I couldn't remember Salas, so I definitely can't remember.
I was thinking of the Dodgers guy, Dalton Rushing, who's also in some kind of rumors with them.
Yeah. And listen, the Dodgers are a team that need help in their bullpen immediately. I mean, their pitching staff is falling apart right in front of our eyes. But that's the one time in the last couple of days that the Red Sox have been mentioned. And it's to say that they want frontline starting pitching, but in the minds of some evaluators, I wonder which one those are, the asking prices for the prominent starters remains extremely high. And then it goes, the Rays, are they adding or subtracting? The Yankees looking for relief pitchers. The Rockies are going to be dealing their relievers. Rangers ready to get aggressive at the deadline, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You want to see the Red Sox mentioned again, you got to go all the way down to the 27th, and there it is. Red Sox should target Yandy Diaz. Buster Olney. It's not the Red Sox are very interested in Yandy Diaz. The Red Sox have been making a real push for Yandy Diaz. It's the Red Sox should take a look at Yandy Diaz. And it's like, yeah. Yeah, they should. I agree. Now, either Craig Breslow is playing this all very close to the vest, and I could see that. He seems like a guy who's not going to go, you know, he wants a very insular kind of front office there. I understand that. He wanted all his loyalists there. He fired a bunch of people. Like, I kind of get that. I don't know if I agree with it, but I do understand that. So maybe he's got a, you know, pretty tight ship over there, and there's not a lot of leakers, if you will. But it does also seem like maybe there's just nothing going on. Maybe there's just nothing going on. Jaron Duran's off the table. Well, all right, Craig, that's who we want. We got some rentals if you're interested in that. Oh, you're not? Okay, well, that's it. We're not really interested in trading anybody with term. And I know, I'm sorry. I know that that's what makes the market more efficient for buyers like you, Craig Breslow, but we don't really care about that. We're just trying to get better. And we have no reason to make a trade right now. So we're going to ask for a lot more maybe than we would some other time. It's the trade deadline. You need this. We don't need this. We're going to ask for the moon. And if you want to give us the moon, then great. If not, we'll talk to you in the offseason. It's what they did with the White Sox. And I just get the feeling that's what's going to be going on here. And it's a shame. It's a shame. I don't know what else to say. This Minnesota Twins team that you're playing doesn't have a scheduled starter yet. Because they just traded one of their starters, Paddock, to a team in their division. The Detroit Tigers. And listen, Chris Paddock kind of blows. Like, he's not very good. His ERA is in the fives, I think, this year. Like, he's not exactly some lights-out guy who's going to slot in, you know, a number two behind Tarek Skubal or anything. But it's something. The Tigers do need some help behind Skubal in that rotation, absolutely, and they're doing something. They're going in division. They got another pitching prospect. He's not even a prospect. He's like some 30-year-old journeyman in AAA. Dobnik, I think. And Minnesota gets a prospect back from Detroit. And that's the whole deal. And I look at deals like that. I look at deals like Naylor. I look at Rosario. I look at McMahon. And I'm not really seeing these crazy, you know, like, I'm sure there's teams out there asking a lot for their best players. But if you want to make a move, you can make a move in this market. It's not impossible. Like, it's really not. Yes, Dan Ball.
And it's every team around you in the wild card.
Yes.
Too. Like, Seattle's added. Toronto just added ahead of you in the AL East. So it's every team in the AL that's at least adding some kind of reinforcement so far.
Yeah, they're doing it. They're being aggressive. They're being proactive. And for the umpteenth year in a row, different regime, different everything, but it's still the same old Red Sox here. Since that Kyle Schwarber trade deadline, and Kyle Schwarber, you remember, was a distressed asset at the time. It was 2 weeks before they could even have him on the roster. So, you know, they even got a little bit of a sweetheart deal there. That wasn't some super aggressive move either. And now here we are again, 4 years later, 5 years later, and it's the same stuff. In these last couple of years, they haven't even really given you one of those little pity trades. Danny Jansen and guys like that, you know, like that's who it is. That's who it's going to be. And I just think that that's become the model. That's become the model for this Red Sox team. I thought maybe you were going to see something different with the offseason that they had. They did do business differently this offseason. Absolutely. No denying it. I love what they did in the offseason. I thought Breslow really turned a corner. I thought the organization really turned a corner in terms of urgency and aggressiveness and all that other stuff. But you get to the trade deadline and it's the same old story. I mean, really, it's the same thing. And I don't know. I mean, I wonder what it's going to take to snap them out of it. I wonder if they ever will. And if they do, listen, I will apologize on the air, and I will be thrilled. This is one of those instances where I will be thrilled if I'm wrong. Really, I will be. Sort of like Mac and Always Sunny. I'm playing both sides, so either way, I'm happy. You know what I mean? Either they don't do anything, and I look smart because I predicted they wouldn't do anything, or I'm wrong, but they do something, and that's better for me, too. So, yes, I've completely macked this whole thing. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll take your Red Sox phone calls here before we head over to Minnesota in Target Field for the MassMutual pregame show with yours truly, Arcan. We'll talk with Mike Monaco, Will Fleming, etc., the guys in WEEI Afternoons. Interviewed Alex Cora. If you missed that, you'll hear it again during pregame. But coming up next, after Brian Furzocco gets you caught up on what's trending, or Dan Ball's going to get you caught up on what's trending. Of course. And then after that, we'll have your 6:30 headlines a little bit early here on the Christian.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Arcan Show.
All right, it's a little early for this, but we don't have a lot of time here, so we'll get to our 6:30 headlines right around 6:24. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. And don't forget, you can stream WEEI and the Christian Arcan Show anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And you can listen to all of the Christian Arcan Show podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else it is that you get your podcast. Before we get to headlines, we got a couple calls on the line, so let's go ahead and take one here. Gio is in Andover with a creative trade idea. Let's go ahead, Gio. What do you got?
Hi. What did you have me calling about?
What did I have? I don't know. What did you?
Did he write something down? Okay. So Dylan Cease is a number one starter.
Right.
But he's out at the end of the year.
Cease isn't a number
one. By the way, the teams don't want this 100 game deadline because the benefit is diminished. It should be an 80 game halfway, and then there'd be some incentive. But because of the owners own the gambling sites, when you make a big change at the deadline, it changes all the gambling odds and people drop out of their bets. So the last thing the owners who are involved in DraftKings and my whatever want is to change the demographics of the betting.
Uh-huh.
And that's what these things would do.
Gio, it says here on the board that you wanted to talk about the Red Sox trading their injured players.
Ah, okay. So we're focused on Duran. And there are all kinds of people who could be traded.
Right.
Cutter Crawford, the injured first baseman.
Tristan
Tanner
Cassis.
Houck.
What team is going to want all of these injured players, Gio? Like, which team is out there banging down the door for a guy who's out for the year?
A team that is going to lose a player in 30 games and is not going to be in the World Series, but would have a player.
Wouldn't they rather have a prospect who can, you know?
The Red Sox are a model for the rest of the league. The Red Sox don't want Dylan Cease because he was going to make $20-25 million. Mm-hmm. They want a player like Tristan Cassis who will be with them for 5 years making $3 million. That is not a model that just works for us. It works for every other team in baseball.
Okay.
We have lots of trading assets. We have all of these alleged players. By the way,
I gave you 2 minutes because I found your call interesting. I found everything that guy had to say interesting. But that was some wild stuff he was saying.
He tried to be correct about 7 times, and I'm not sure he got one of them right.
He asked me, what did you have me call for? Like, I told him to call and gave him things to say. He goes, what did you have me call and say? I didn't have you call and say anything, Gio. You and I did not communicate before that call was placed. It was all, yeah, I don't know, maybe so you talked to somebody else, it's pretending to be me, and they told you, hey, call the Arcan Show and talk about trading injured players and how, what was the other part about how the deadline should be earlier? I kind of like that idea. I think the deadline earlier in the year is not a bad idea. It's very close to the end. I mean, we're 3/4 of the way through the season here, basically, and this is when it happens. So, like, I'm okay with them pushing it back a little bit. But I guess I don't see how that changes the demographic of better. I don't know. He lost me after that. Anyway, it's 6:30, so let's get to some headlines and begin with a trade that got made in the American League East and had nothing to do with the Boston Red Sox. This, right before I went on the air, the Toronto Blue Jays acquired right-hander Sir Anthony Dominguez from the Baltimore Orioles. That's it's not Sir Anthony Dominguez, it's S-E-R Anthony, from the Baltimore Orioles for a right-handed pitching prospect named Warren Watts Brown. Dominguez playing the Blue Jays right now, and the Blue Jays got their ass handed to him today by the Baltimore Orioles. Just demolished them in the first game of that doubleheader. He has not pitched in the series. Dominguez is not. He was active for Tuesday's game one for Baltimore. He will be active in game two for Toronto, so that's kind of cool. Sir Anthony Dominguez this year did not give up a single earned run in the entire month of June. Not one earned run. He gave up a lot of earned runs in May, but none in June, and in July, pretty good ERA in the twos. This is, again, not exactly a guy that I had on the top of my list. But, you know, these teams are getting proactive. They're getting proactive about things that they need. They're giving up prospects to get better. They're doing these type of things because they know that the other teams in the race are going to be doing them as well.
And I feel like the Red Sox are just taking a seat in the bleachers. And boy, is that a bummer. And here it is, another in-division trade. The Tigers just picked up a starting pitcher from a team in their division. There's moves being made in division. You know, like that's not very common. I don't think. You know, like when you're talking, even when it's a bottom feeding team like the Baltimore Orioles, oh, you want to trade your guy away to the Blue Jays? I mean, I guess that's probably the best offer. And the Orioles don't feel like they're coming close to competing anytime soon. So they say the hell with it, whatever. But if that's the case, then that means the Red Sox should be potential trade partners too, right? Why would you trade with the Blue Jays and not the Red Sox? So the Orioles, they're starting their fire sale now. You got O'Hearn, you got some other guys there, some other players that the Red Sox certainly have some interest in, at the very least for DH, first base, second base, starter, reliever, whatever. And I don't think Sir Anthony Dominguez is a great player, but he'd probably be a nice arm to have in your bullpen right now, considering how he's looked since the end of May, basically. He's been very, very good. They exercised an $8 million option on him. He's 30 years old. 43 appearances out of the bullpen. He's got a 3.24 ERA. The kid they traded is a 23-year-old. He's been split between Double-A and High-A Vancouver. He's 2-5 with a 3.54 ERA and 19 starts. Promising young pitching prospect. I don't know where he ranked in their system. It probably wasn't very high because all they did was get a rental reliever. But, again, these are the type of moves getting made right now. And the Red Sox can either join the party or they can stay on the sidelines. And I'm getting an awful feeling here as these days tick away, the hours tick away. We don't have up in our studio anymore. We used to have the NFL draft countdown board. I thought we'd have something for the trade deadline just because it's such an important trade deadline.
Is that a sign from the baseball gods above that they don't expect the Red Sox to do anything either?
We had Dave come in here and set it up, and then Brezel was like, you can shut that off. You know, there's no...
Don't waste the energy on this.
Come on. You could power, you know, you could do something else. Power a computer.
You can power Brezbot with that.
It's true. You could. You know, get some new AI prompts. Anyway, there's one headline right there. The trade market continuing to move forward here. The Red Sox still not really part of it yet. Let's get to our next headline. And that is that Ryan Sandberg, beloved star of the Chicago Cubs and a guy who people my age all basically worshipped for years and years and years, passed away yesterday. He was 65 years old, died at home. He was diagnosed last year with metastatic prostate cancer, had chemotherapy, radiation, and in August of last year, they said he was cancer-free, but it returned, spread to other organs, and that was that. And just knowing what's coming up here this next month at WEEI, we have our Jimmy Fund Telethon coming up, and it's really one of the most important things that I think we do or any radio station does anywhere. And it just sort of got me thinking about that. You know, 65 is very young. This is a guy who had a tremendous career in Major League Baseball, was one of the defining players of that era, I would say, absolutely. And, you know, you didn't really care if you didn't follow. You weren't a big Cubs fan if you lived around here. The Cubs weren't very good, and Sandberg was one of the guys who they brought in to try and resurrect that franchise and that organization, who were just as big a losers as the Red Sox were for all those years until they finally broke through with Theo Epstein. But Ryan Sandberg, he was a household name. He was a household name in baseball at that time, and he was the type of player that everybody was very easy to root for and considered one of the all-time great ambassadors for Major League Baseball and a major, major loss for the sport and for the league for sure. So rest in peace to the Rhino, and very, very sad news. All right, next headline. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, we found it. All right, very good. And that is, I know this isn't maybe the best. My show doesn't always jump into these serious topics very often, and it doesn't get much more serious than this. A gunman who killed four people in Manhattan in an office building yesterday and then shot himself was trying to target the headquarters of the NFL. That's the building that he went into with a long rifle. He walked in. He shot some people. It was this awful, awful scene in Manhattan yesterday. And he was trying to target the headquarters of the NFL, but he went up the wrong elevator, is what we found out today from the mayor, Eric Adams. This guy is a 27-year-old casino worker, or he was, Shane Tamura. He was trying to get to the NFL offices. He shot several people in the building lobby, but he got into the wrong set of elevator banks. And he played high school football in California about 10 years ago.
never made it to the NFL, had a history of mental illness, but there was a note found in his wallet. And the wallet suggested that he had a grievance against the NFL over a claim that he suffered from CTE. CTE, as you know, is the degenerative brain disease that has been found in the brains of many, many football players. Darren Hernandez famously had the worst case maybe of all time. It's been linked to concussions and head trauma, but it's one of those things that you don't know you have until, same with Alzheimer's. Like, it's one of those things you don't know if you have it until after you die and they look at your brain. In the note, Tamura said he was sorry and asked that his brain be studied for CTE. The note also referenced former NFL player Terry Long, who was diagnosed with CTE, and the manner in which Long killed himself in 2005. The note accused the NFL of concealing the dangers to players' brains for profit. The New York Post reported on Tuesday. The note also mentioned League of Denial, which was a PBS documentary about concussions in the NFL, and also a reference to the Fanaru brothers. ESPN reporters who wrote a book released alongside the documentary. It mentioned several other prominent doctors who have studied concussions. The NFL has long denied, I'm reading from ESPN now, the NFL has long denied the link between football and CTE, but acknowledged the connection in 2016 testimony before Congress and has paid more than $1.4 billion to retired players to settle concussion-related claims. In response, the ESPN's medical examiner office said the medical examiner is investigating and will share the cause and manner of death when available. An examination of brain neuropathology is part of the complete autopsy process. And that was when they asked Adams if Tamura would be tested for CTE. Horrifying. I mean, just a horrifying story. And one that I'm not, you know, there's no one side or the other of a mass shooting. I mean, there's no way to try and both sides any of this, and I'm not going to do that, obviously. But I do just think that, you know, in a time like this where there's all sorts of tensions boiling over all over the place for various reasons and all of that, here's this one guy who drove from Las Vegas. He drove all the way across the country, drove to New York City, walked in with a gun, you know, he parked his car and walked into the place with the gun out like anyone could see, you know, in New York City where there's a lot of people around. No one noticed this guy. He walks right in. You know, it's awful. If people die, it's just an awful, awful thing. But how can something like that happen? How can something like that happen? How can the guy park his car, walk in with a gun out? You'd see these pictures of him striding across the street, across the sidewalk. Ugh. Horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. And this connection to the NFL and whatever, I mean, this is the deranged thoughts of a lunatic, you know? I mean, this is a crazed gunman who shot innocent people and, you know, was not in his right mind. But if anybody tries to try and extrapolate something from this, I don't think you really can, other than that this was a very troubled person who was very mentally ill and tragically claimed the lives of a bunch of people. So, you know, awful, awful, awful stuff. And that's all the time we have here on the Christian Arcan Show. Bit of a morose Christian Arcan Show, but that was the big headline today. I had no idea. I didn't even know that the NFL office was down there. I guess that's the building where Portnoy and all them got arrested all those years back for the Free Brady thing. Horrifying stuff. Anyway, that's all for me. I got a Mass Mutual pregame show. Red Sox baseball coming your way next. Red Sox and Twins at Target Field right now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.